war crimes. We see money being misappropriated from so-called charitable organizations here and being sent over to assist the occupation forces. We also see the government here failing to do anything at all to stop recruitment for the Israeli military, which is also happening right now.
Activists are calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Palestinian territory to prevent further loss of life and say that Ottawa must cancel all arms export permits to Israel and require the regime to fully comply with international law.
So we refuse for our Canadian leadership, the members that we elected, to be complicit in the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. We demand that it imposes an arms embargo on Israel and that it holds it accountable to the numerous international law violations and war crimes that it has committed, not only the past 42 days, but for the past 75 years of occupation.
If the politicians and the media will not listen to us, then we will make it impossible for them to ignore us. We will not allow for business to go on as usual while a genocide takes place against our people in Gaza.
These mass protests demonstrate that people here and around the world no longer believe Israel's propaganda as people from across the country prepare for next week's national march on Ottawa. Camila Escalante, Toronto.
Another pro-Palestinian demonstration has taken place in the Yemeni capital Sana'a in solidarity with Palestinians and their resilience in the face of the Israeli aggression. Protesters also expressed support for the Yemeni government's decision to continue targeting Israel with drones and ballistic missiles. They stressed that this is a battle between good versus evil.
This is a battle against the heads and masterminds of disbelief, at the head of which is America and Israel, the great Satan and the cancer in the body of the Muslim world. By the will of Allah, victory is near.
14 nations wages airstrikes against us and all fail to deter us as we continue to fight today. We do not fear them as long as Allah is with us. We tell them that no matter how much you plot, Allah will turn their plots against them.
Last week, the Yemeni army confirmed they are able to target Israeli ships in the Red Sea and any other location. The army also stated they will target Israeli ships heading toward occupied Palestine or any other country. The Ansar Allah military says its moves against Israel are part of efforts to pressure the regime in Tel Aviv to put a halt to the atrocities against Palestinians.
Yemen's armed forces will not hesitate to target all Israeli ships in the Red Sea or at any location within our reach. Yemen's armed forces will not stop launching attacks against Israelis until the regime's aggression on our Palestinian brothers ends.
The government in Sana'a believes these military moves could lead to a full-scale war with the U.S. and the Israeli regime. Despite that, Yemen leaders believe war has been permitted against those killing Muslims and forcing them out of their land.
Israel's economy is heavily dependent on imports and exports traded through Yemen's crucial Bab al-Mandab Strait. This comes as the Ansar Allah movement has announced it will not allow any Israeli shipments to pass through this strait as long as the Tel Aviv regime continues its acts of aggression in occupied Palestine. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
As you enter the playground of most schools in Lebanon, it is not only the Lebanese flag which is seen waving. Most extracurricular activities and events include some mention of Gaza and Palestine. Students here have, in their own words, expressed their utter rejection of the continuous onslaught against innocent children.
What kind of sick and twisted maniac would do this to children? If we look at the facts, we see that Israel has won multiple institutions for Gaza, like the hospitals, the schools, that foster 4 to 5 innocent kids. So by standing with them, I believe that we stand for justice, we stand for freedom, we stand for compassion.
The television and news, mostly in America and Europe, they don't spot the light on these violations because they don't want to report a message to people that this the Israeli army is actually destroying the life of some innocent innocent kids, that there is no front line defending them. This is a big challenge that we are facing right now. We should help them mentally with any type of support that we have.
We look at the screens on the TVs, and you feel you just want to cry for what's happening for them. And just something unbearable for this, incredible. We can't bear. We have to move. We have to do something for those people to save their lives. Otherwise, we are not human being anymore.
During a school seminar, words and slogans, in addition to symbols of Palestinian resistance, are worn by the students and teachers alike.
The Palestinian kids are not only statistics of wars. They are human beings like us. They have the right to dream, the right to live, the right to have all their rights like other human beings.
I would like to express my opinion in my house, in the community, and everything, and also in supporting boys and girls in Gaza.
Shouts from protests in support of Gaza and denouncing the massacres in Palestine and Lebanon have been echoing across the capital, Beirut. People of all ages have taken part, but experts believe that this war has deeply touched the conscience of the younger generations, because of the daily killing of infants, which the world has not stopped.
Today, when younger generations see the U.S.-Israeli massacre of children, they realize that the U.S. is the real enemy of all mankind. It is in the interest of all the people around the world to unite against the U.S., since it has violated all norms of humanity together with the Israeli regime.
Despite their young age and the fact that they have not witnessed any wars, Lebanon's children and youth consider the war waged on Gaza as an act of terrorism. Their confusion lies in understanding why the so-called democracies of the world support the slaughter of innocent women and children. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian described the aim of the visit to the Swiss city of Geneva as pursuing the process of delivery of humanitarian aid to Palestinians in Gaza and the end of the Israeli siege of the coastal territory.
We are pursuing process of delivery of humanitarian assistance to people in Gaza. We will have meetings with UN officials and International Red Cross organization. Some of the meetings have been held, while others are on the agenda. Definitely, the humanitarian situation in Gaza is embarrassing.
Amir Abdullahian also censured the U.S. military support for Israel, saying Washington's claims of providing aid to Palestinians are just words without actions.
We have heard from the American foreign minister saying Washington seeks to send around 500 trucks of humanitarian aid to Gaza daily. But currently, between 25 to 40 trucks are only entering Gaza. One-third of this aid is water, lacking the essential food and medicine urgently needed by Palestinians.
The Iranian foreign minister made the remarks following talks with the UN Undersecretary for Human Rights Affairs, Martin Griffiths. During their meeting, Amir Abdullahian stated Hamas resistance movement's preparedness to release Israeli civilians in exchange for the end of the regime's onslaught against Palestinians. Griffiths, for his part, highlighted the importance of this topic and thanked Iran's efforts in preventing the war from spreading. Amir Abdullahian then held talks with Volker Turk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. Following that, he met with Mirjana Espoljaric-Egger, president of the International Committee of Red Cross. The talks all revolved around ending the siege on Gaza and the opening of the Rafah border crossing.
For the last 40 days, Israeli warplanes and tanks have been pounding the Gaza Strip. Thousands of civilians, including women and children, have been killed in the Gaza Strip. For the last 40 days, the international community has failed to propose a solution to end the war. Now, many are wondering whether the United Nations and other human rights organizations can do anything more to protect Palestinians other than just issuing condemnations. Ahtia Posyan, Geneva.
Music.
At the invitation of Palestinian factions, hundreds of Syrians joined their brethren to rally in Khan Yunis refugee camp to condemn Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people, especially the besieged people of Gaza. The demonstrators stressed that the Western-backed aggression and blockade will not defeat Palestine and its people. They also pointed to the failure of the Israeli regime to produce any evidence backing up its claims about the presence of a Hamas command center under Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital.
The issue of Shifa Medical Complex has exposed Israel and the international community supporting it, including the United States of America. It has proven to the world that our hospitals are solely for patients and the wounded, and that the Zionist enemy only seeks to destroy them.
Two residents of the Khan Yunis refugee camp were martyred in Al-Aqsa flood operation. The people of the camp take pride in their martyrs. Participants affirmed that the path of liberating Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque is difficult, but pledged to make all necessary sacrifices in the battle for the Palestinian cause.
It is a great honor to be in a family that has a martyr for the cause of liberating Al-Aqsa, which is also the first martyr from Khan Yunis camp. It is a very modest sacrifice for the sake of Palestine and the heroic people of Gaza.
We, the sons of the Islamic Jihad in Khan Yunis camp, assure our people in Palestine that we stand firmly with them and with the resistance. Our hand is on the trigger until the end and to the last breath.
Meanwhile, inside the Zainab city, a solidarity event was held in support of Palestine, where families of the Palestinian resistance martyrs were honored. In turn, families hailed martyrdom as the only path to victory. Participants expressed confidence in the victory of Gaza, emphasizing that the Palestinian cause will always thrive throughout generations.
As outrage grows in the region due to the escalation of Israeli crimes, Syrians and Palestinians reaffirm their support for Gaza in the face of the Israeli aggression and their determination to achieve victory, no matter how great the sacrifices are. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, has delivered a much-anticipated televised speech in which he stressed that the Yemeni military will continue targeting Israel. After condemning some Arab and Islamic countries for not taking a meaningful stance against the Israeli regime, al-Houthi made it clear that Yemen is determined to take decisive military action that will eventually force the Zionist aggression to stop.
Our brothers in the armed forces have begun their work and carried out a number of operations with long-range missiles deep into the south of Israeli-occupied lands. We also used drones to target Israeli Zionist targets there. We will continue our bombardment and we will continue to march for Palestine. We are also planning for additional military operations against all Zionist targets in Palestine and outside of Palestine.
Al-Houthi declared that from now on, all Israeli ships passing through Yemeni territorial water will be targeted in the Red Sea, a move which would prove to be very costly, since trade through the Red Sea constitutes 90% of Israel's imported goods.
Our eyes are open for constant monitoring and searching for any Israeli ships. Everyone should know that the Israeli enemy relies on its movement in the Red Sea, especially in Bab al-Mandab, where they try to camouflage their ships by not raising Israeli flags on them. It's a smuggling mission because they even turn off the identification devices on board. Despite this, they will not succeed. We will search until we verify the ships that belong to the Israeli regime, and we will not hesitate to target them.
Yemen's continuous military strikes against Israel come after U.S. officials directed a warning to Yemen to not intervene in Israel's brutal war on Gaza. But according to al-Houthi, Yemen doesn't take its orders from America. Bab al-Mandab is a very narrow strait that separates Yemen from the Horn of Africa. This means any ship that passes through Bab al-Mandab will be within the target zone of Yemen's armed forces. And as Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi has stated, all Israeli shipments will be targeted if they attempt to pass. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio, with you every single moment.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Harzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Day 45 has come and gone in Gaza. More babies, more journalists, and more hospitals have been targeted by the inhumane Israeli regime. As cameras are rolling, broadcasting live images of genocide, the regime has actually upped the ante by targeting more hospitals, schools, and UN facilities. Why? Well, we'll look at this and a lot more on the Spotlight. I'd like to welcome my guests to this program. Said Mohammed Marandi, university professor and political analyst out of Tehran. And Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector in Iraq, out of Bethlehem, New York.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Thank you both for being with me. I'd like to start this off in Tehran. Said Mohammed, how is it that the Israeli regime not only does not care about the growing calls for a ceasefire around the world, but has actually increased its attacks on hospitals, schools, and UN entities?
I think it's a combination of a number of things. First of all, it is a racist, supremacist regime. It's in the eyes of many former South African political activists who experienced jail under apartheid South Africa, it's much worse than apartheid. And we've seen for years regime leaders speak about Palestinians as being subhuman. After October the 7th, we've seen that sort of language intensified. The regime is also, I think, has lost its mind collectively as a result of the defeat on October the 7th. It's sort of like the United States post 9/11, where they suddenly went and sought out enemies and invaded Afghanistan and Iraq, and regret they came. I believe that at least the American people felt that both were highly regretful. But the Israeli regime continues to believe that it can take advantage of this situation as well. I think they see this as a historic opportunity, which for Netanyahu is of particular importance because he wants to remain in power. If he is removed from power, he may go to jail.
Well, let me just jump in here. You said they see it as a historic opportunity. An historic opportunity to do what?
To ethnically cleanse Gaza, to get rid of the Palestinian people, and to use October the 7th as an excuse to annihilate the Palestinian people.
Well, Scott, I mean, when a military has been labeled as one of the best in the world, but then resorts to what we're seeing take place in Gaza, dropping bombs on the heads of civilians, attacking medical facilities. I mean, in actuality, isn't the Israeli regime showing its weakness and actually that it does not have a lot of military problems? I mean, how do you see this?
Well, first of all, let's not just focus on what happened today and what's happened for the last 45 days. Let's start with October 7th. The Israeli army was defeated in a stand-up fight against Hamas. There's no other way to articulate what happened that day. Hamas executed what was perhaps the greatest military raid this century. And this was a military raid. It was not an act of terrorism. It was a well-planned out, well-executed military assault on an Israeli defense establishment, and they defeated the Israelis in a stand-up fight. They accomplished their missions. They humiliated the Israelis. And what's taken place since then by Israel is not a military operation per se, but an act of revenge. Israel is not the most moral army in the world, as they like to proclaim. They are the most immoral army in the world. The very foundation of their strategic approach towards resolving this issue, the notion of collective punishment, is in and of itself a war crime. And everything Israel has done to execute this collective punishment is a war crime as well. Targeting hospitals, schools, civilian targets. This has underscored the fact that the Israeli military, the myth of Israeli invincibility, which, by the way, was shattered in 2006 against Hezbollah and is being shattered again with the ongoing fighting up north against Hezbollah. But this is a myth that has been dispelled. No one views the Israeli military as invincible. They have a lot of very good technology, a lot of very deadly weapons, but the military itself has been disgraced.
Well, Said Mohammed, do you think that Israel is in reality destroying itself by acting with the type of arrogance and this total disregard for Palestinian lives, and at least there's supposed to be certain rules of war?
Yes, and I agree with what Scott said. In my opinion, on October the 7th, it was an enormous defeat for the Israeli regime, and a lot of the accusations that the Israelis made against Hamas, I think basically they were made to have an excuse to carry out this genocide, such as the 40 beheaded babies, the raped women, more recently the scandals surrounding the hospital and the so-called Hamas command and control center and the tunnels. All of these lies, have been exposed. And of course, the deaths of the of Israelis at the hands of the Israeli armed forces, which initially they accused Hamas of carrying out, all of these, I think, have contributed to the Israeli regime becoming becoming a diminished army in the eyes of the international community. I think the greatest defeat was not actually October the 7th, or even the resistance that's being put up today by the Palestinian groups. I think the greatest defeat for the regime is the fact that they've been carrying out genocide and that they've been lying in a very unprofessional way. Their lies are so very easily exposed. I mentioned a few of them. And so, and then Western media has also been discredited because they've been trying to help the Israeli regime make its case and to justify these atrocities. But what they've done basically is the media has discredited itself. The Israeli regime has become illegitimate in the eyes of many who thought it was legitimate. And I think even more important than the regime itself and the Western media is that the West has discredited itself. It has diminished its stature in the eyes of the global South and in the eyes of its youth by supporting these atrocities and by repeating these lies that have turned out to be completely false. So the Hamas and its allies, Islamic Jihad, have scored major victories on October the 7th, as Scott has pointed out. The resistance over the past few weeks has been extraordinarily impressive on the battlefield. But I think the major punishment, the major defeat that the Israelis have had to face has come as a result of their own atrocities, and those atrocities being carried out live in front of a global audience.
Yeah, well, what about that, Scott? Because you mentioned earlier that actually when we talk about the Israeli military and how it was always shown as being invincible, but that was proven false back in 2006. But 2006, different situation as far as social media, different situation as far as the media. And, of course, that same mainstream media tried not to point out the failure by the Israeli regime against, of course, Hezbollah. This time around, fast forward, we have, as said Mohammed just mentioned, with the social media and the failure, as he also pointed out, not only with the Israeli regime and being exposed, but also Western media and the Western regimes themselves. Your thoughts on that and the effects that this is going to have way beyond Gaza and the Palestinian people?
Well, of course, my esteemed colleague in Tehran is 100% correct. War is an extension of politics by other means. And if we view this conflict purely in military terms, we're missing the forest for the trees. Israel has suffered a horrific political defeat. It's a debacle for Israel. And one of the reasons why is they cannot control the narrative. The narrative has escaped them. The media, the compliant Western media that has for so long been willing to parrot whatever Israel says, whatever the United States says about what Israel wants the world to believe about Israel, has been confronted by the inconsistencies and outright lies of the Israeli narrative. But more importantly, we have alternative media, social media, that has a far greater reach than anything the mainstream media could hope for. I mean, here in the United States, CNN, hundreds of thousands of viewers. But, you know, if this broadcast goes viral, we can have millions of viewers seeing this, seeing an alternative point of view. The point is the truth can no longer be suppressed. The truth can no longer be hidden, disguised. The truth is out there for people who are looking for the truth to find it. And as a result, we have millions of people in the streets of cities around the world protesting against Israel on behalf of the Palestinian people. And I don't mean to be too critical, but I will be extraordinarily critical of the Islamic world, of the Arab world. Palestine had been abandoned by people who proclaimed to be pro-Palestinian. On October 6th, no one was talking the way they are today about a Palestinian state. It took the action of Hamas on October 7th, the ongoing resistance of Hamas and the Palestinian people since then, to wake the world up. But now the world has been awoken, largely because the truth cannot be suppressed. Social media has overtaken mainstream media, and now there's a new narrative out there, and the Islamic world, the Arab world, can't ignore the absolute necessity of a Palestinian state if we are going to be talking about any potential of peace going forward. This was impossible to talk about in 2006. Today, it's the only thing we're talking about.
Interesting point. What about that said, Mohammed? When we look at some of the Islamic or Muslim nations, we don't see a whole lot of response in general from the majority of them. But, of course, as we know, the Yemeni military yesterday took an Israeli cargo ship and also got some of the individuals on board and said it was response to the continual atrocities taking place in Gaza. And also we know that Hezbollah has been extremely effective with their continuous attacks on the Israeli regime since, as said Hassan Nasrallah said, since October the 8th. But in the middle, we have other Islamic nations that we don't see a lot. Do you think that we're going to see a change in that? Or because we do have the people on the ground, even in these nations, or a lot of them, that are calling for more actions by their governments. Do you see any type of backlash on these countries?
Well, I think the longer this the battles rage and the more Gazans are massacred, the more pressure there will be on countries like Turkey to make a move. So far, the Turkish government has not closed the embassy. They continue to do enormous amounts of trade with the Israeli regime, and they also allow oil from Baku to get to Israel through their territory. And, of course, Arab governments across the region continue to have relations as usual, those that had relations. The only countries that have moved against the Israeli regime in a big way are Yemen, as you pointed out. Of course, Iran, what we see in Gaza today is obviously a result of the relationship between Iran and the resistance organizations, and Iran will continue to support those groups. And there's Iraq, of course, as well. The attacks on the American bases in Syria, I think, are important, but I think at the moment they're more of a deterrent. They're a sort of reminder to the Americans that they should not escalate, they should not get involved. In other words, it's a means to contain the Americans. But if countries of the region were to move against the Israeli regime, if Turkey was to make a move, or the Emirates, if these countries just stopped doing trade and cut off ties, that would be an enormous blow to the regime. I don't see that happening, unfortunately. I don't see Mr. Erdogan doing anything substantial. But then again, if the pressure mounts, if there's some sort of outrage, of course, every day we have multiple outrages, but if something big happens, which is quite possible in the days ahead, it could put the sort of pressure on the Turkish government that would force it to make a move. But in general, the antagonism towards, and this is something that I was alluding to earlier, the antagonism towards the Israeli regime is becoming global. And the antagonism towards the Western political establishment or the collective West is growing. And this, I think, is extraordinarily detrimental to the interests of the United States. So the longer this lasts, the worse it is for the West. And we have to remember, while all this is happening, the West is still fighting a war in Ukraine. And this is not really sustainable for this global empire, which is already collapsing. And I think this is just going to make it much worse and bring the collapse closer. And it's destroyed the West's soft power.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Scott, just getting back to what is happening on the ground, I mean, we have seen some unbelievable scenes in this month and a half coming out of Gaza, and especially around hospitals, like the RNX Hellfire missile used in the courtyard of the Al-Shifa Hospital, which, as you know, didn't explode, but instead cut people to pieces. I mean, what is this saying, not only about the Israeli regime in using these type of weapons, but of course this was made in the USA. I mean, if both of the regimes, do you think that this is also helping to wake people up, the depravity of it all?
It seems that way. I mean, we're headed in that direction. There's still, remember, the control that the United States and Israel had over the mainstream media and the influence that the mainstream media has on, shaping public opinion in the United States, Europe, the collective West is still quite powerful. It's very difficult to try and change the narrative that's been put out by governments and media. But the inconsistency, what makes this easier is the inconsistency of American policy. You know, we're supposed to be a nation of norms and values. I know people can shake their head and tisk at me because the theory has not been manifested in reality, at least not of late. But theoretically, when we provide a nation with weaponry, that weaponry should be used only for their legitimate self-defense, and it can never be used in the conduct of war crimes. Normally, what would happen when a nation abused the military relationship they have with the United States in such a manner, we would freeze military shipments. We could even ask for the return of military assets. I point out what happened in 1974-75 when Turkey invaded Cyprus. Turkey, a NATO ally, was sanctioned by the United States, and we stopped selling Turkey weapons, and we put restrictions into place because Turkey had done something that we deemed to be in, not in compliance with international law. Here we have Israel literally executing a military strategy founded on the principle of collective punishment, the Dahiya principle or doctrine, named after a West Beirut suburb that was leveled by Israel in 2006, is part of their collective punishment approach towards punishing the Lebanese people because Israel could not defeat Hezbollah on the battlefield. This has become the strategy, the doctrine of Israel. Everybody knows it. Israel writes papers about this. And yet they're executing it today to the letter, and nobody says anything. It is a literal war crime. The same thing with targeting hospitals. Israel can talk until it's blue in the face about the hospitals being a military object. But it's interesting because the moment Israel invokes the laws of war, international humanitarian law, they expose their crimes. Because you can't just say, we think there's a tunnel network. We think there's a command post underneath. The issue of distinction under international law, the law of war, requires you to know with absolute certainty before you take action. And if you don't know, then you must assume that the object is purely civilian in nature. Now that we have Israel carrying out this desperate fishing expedition to try and find something after the fact only underscores how criminal their action was in targeting the Al-Shifa hospital.
But let me just jump in here, Scott, because we're almost out of time. You're talking about how criminal it was. But at the same time, in the middle of all of this, the United States has given Israel more money, more military equipment, and is still supporting it 100%. So what does it say about Washington itself and its overall goals? 1 minute, Scott. Sorry, we don't have that much time.
I'll keep it short so our esteemed guests can also say something. It says that we're a criminal regime, that we are culpable in all the crimes carried out by Israel, and we will be condemned as such. This is why the world has turned against America and Israel, because America and Israel have been exposed as criminal regimes when it comes to what's happening to the people of Palestine.
And on that note, I thank both of you for being with me on the Spotlight. Said Mohammed Marandi, university professor and political analyst out of Tehran. Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector in Iraq out of New York. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the group right here in Tehran. Goodbye.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. in the limelight.
The United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk has called for an end to the Israeli regime's brutal killing of defenseless Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk has called for an end to the Israeli regime's brutal killing of defenseless Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, Palestinians who have taken refuge in schools that are now being used as shelters. In a statement issued on Sunday, 19th of November, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, also expressed disbelief following a horrendous bout of violence against Palestinians in Gaza by the Israeli regime, which has brought the territory under an all-out genocidal war for more than a month now. The United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk said, "The killing of so many people at schools turned shelters, while hundreds fleeing for their lives from Al-Shifa Hospital amid continuing displacement of hundreds of thousands of people in southern Gaza are actions which fly in the face of the basic protections that civilians must be afforded under international law." Volker Turk's remarks came just a day after more than 200 Palestinians were killed and injured in an Israeli bombing at Al-Fakhura School, which is affiliated with the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, in the Jabalia refugee camp in the northern Gaza Strip. Shortly afterwards, the Israeli regime targeted Tel al-Zatar, another school in the town of Beit Lahia, which is also located in northern Gaza Strip. Images purportedly taken in the aftermath of the reported Israeli airstrike on Al-Fakhura School are horrifying, clearly showing large numbers of women, children and men severely wounded or killed. Walter Turk added, "At least three other schools hosting displaced Palestinians have also been attacked in the past 48 hours. The United Nations Human Rights Chief, Volker Turk, said, "Israeli military operations have been continuing inside and around Al-Shifa Hospital. United Nations colleagues visited the site yesterday and witnessed firsthand what they described as a death zone. Medical personnel, patients and civilians have fled the hospital, ordered to do so by the Israeli military. Hundreds of people were seen making their way south on foot, at great risk to their lives, health and safety. And to where? Nowhere is safe in the Gaza Strip," Volker Turk added. The Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's largest hospital, has taken the brunt of the Israeli regime's attacks on healthcare targets across the coastal sliver. Israel claims that the hospital houses a command center belonging to the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. It began targeting the facility shortly into the war and recently ordered forcible evacuation of citizens, the sick and patients, the wounded and medical staff in order to turn the Al-Shifa Hospital into a closed military barracks. Meanwhile, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi has said a just world order will emerge from the blood of innocent Palestinian people. President Raisi, addressing a gathering of people in Tehran's Shahriar County on Sunday, 19th of November, stressed that people across the world hate the Zionist regime and are disappointed at the United Nations and the UN Security Council, which are no longer effective in preventing Israeli atrocities against innocent Palestinians. President Raisi said, "Today people feel that they should seek the establishment of a just world order. A just world order will definitely be formed through the will of the nations and the pure blood of the Palestinians." The Iranian president also noted that the resilience of the people of the Gaza Strip teaches the entire world a lesson to resist tyranny and oppression, and to show one's disgust towards the enemies of humanity. President Raisi said the pure blood of 5,000 Palestinian children will cause divine revenge to hit today's pharaohs and end their rule. The United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk, speaking on Friday 17th of November, said Israel's proposed so-called safe zone is neither safe nor feasible, as civilians must be protected throughout the Gaza Strip, wherever they are. The United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk said the current Israeli proposal for a so-called safe zone is untenable. The zone is neither safe nor feasible for the number of people in need. Volker Turk, in a virtual address at the United Nations General Assembly meeting on Gaza in New York, said civilians must be protected throughout Gaza, wherever they are. Voicing alarm about the imminent total depletion of fuel supplies in Gaza, Volker Turk added, "Already, this is leading to a collapse of the water, sewage and crucial healthcare services in Gaza and could end the trickle of humanitarian assistance that the Israeli regime has so far permitted to enter Gaza." France 24, or France 24, has also covered the same story and tells us more. The United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk has said extremely serious allegations of multiple and profound breaches of international humanitarian law, whoever commits them, demand rigorous investigation and full accountability. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, did not name Israel explicitly, but he spoke after a visit last week to the Middle East, where he warned that the Israeli side was committing war crimes against Palestinians. "Where national authorities prove unwilling or unable to carry out such investigations, and where there are contested narratives on particularly significant incidents, international investigations are called for," he said. The Israeli regime has vowed to eradicate the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas, by carrying out a genocidal war against the Gaza Strip. Israel's relentless bombardment and ground offensive against Gaza has killed more than 12,000 Palestinians, many of them civilians, including thousands of children. Volker Turk decried the conflagration of violence that has been unleashed in the Middle East. He said he had spoken to people across the Gaza Strip during a visit to the Egyptian border with Gaza, and he said, "Rarely have I heard such disturbing testimony about the catastrophic harm that ordinary people have endured in the Gaza Strip." Volker Turk stressed the urgent need for his department to go there and to assure full and independent monitoring and documentation, and to coordinate protection work. He told reporters he had asked the Israeli regime to give me access both to Israel and also to the occupied Palestinian territories, but he said, "I have not yet received a response from the Israeli side." Volker Turk voiced concern about the intensification of violence and severe discrimination against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, including in eastern Al-Quds. Volker Turk added, "I'm ringing the loudest possible alarm bell about the occupied West Bank." Commenting on a possible ceasefire, he said, "It is apparent on both sides, some view the killings of Palestinians as either acceptable collateral damage or a deliberate and useful weapon of war." The United Nations Human Rights Chief also insisted that the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories must end. He said, "Israelis' freedom is inextricably bound up with Palestinians' freedom. Palestinian and Israelis are each other's only hope for peace."
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. And nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. Through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down Gaza tonight. Tonight, a blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. Nothing remains.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel's indiscriminate strikes in the Gaza Strip continue to claim more civilian life as the death toll from the regime's genocidal war surpasses 14,000.